All right. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
It was foretold by witches. It was conceived through sorcery. And it was to be destroyed by all that is evil. But the courage of one mortal saved it. And so, into an age of darkness, in a time of mysticism, sacrifice, and plunder, there came the only light, the Beastmaster. Born with the strength of a black tiger, the courage of an eagle, the power that made him more than any hero. More than any lover. He was lord and master over all beasts. He was the Beast Master. Behold the wonder. The horror. The fantasy. The challenge of the one warrior they called the Beastmaster. Conquer your fears. Face the unknown. And discover the incredible link between man, animal, and all that is phantasmagorical. In the world of Dungeons, Dragons, and Dar. The Beastmaster.
Welcome to The Greaties, the great 80s movie debate, where we see if the movies of the 1980s still hold up today. Whether you're a child of the 80s, a fan of classic films, or just a movie geek, you've come to the right place. Today, at the birthday request of one of our listeners, Scott Craig, we will be discussing 1982's The Beastmaster. I found it is not just Beastmaster, it is The Beastmaster.
That's right.
There can be only one.
There can be only one. Directed by Don Coscarelli and starring Mark Singer, Tanya Roberts, John Amos, and the late Rip Torn.
The late great Rip Torn.
Well, after that prison sentence, possibly not great. my name is Christy, and I'm joined by my fellows, my fellow 80s capa throwers, Dave.
Why, yes, that is two ferrets in my pocket. Yes, I am very happy to see Tanya Roberts.
And Dan.
Hello. My name is Dar.
So now on The Greaties, we like to take a moment to find out each panelist's history with the film that we're analyzing so that everybody knows where everybody's coming from. So, Dave, what is your history with the, or the, depending on what side of the country you're on, Beastmaster?
I remember seeing this on TV, like network television, when I was, I don't know, 8 or 10 years old. My dad was watching it, and boy, was this great. Like, this is swords and sorcery and
naked chicks.
You know, naked chicks. Well, I don't know if I appreciated that the first time I saw it. Plus, they cut out some of that on network television.
True.
But, you know, I was just getting into D&D at the time, and this was just great. Because basically you had this and Conan, and, you know. We didn't even have VCR yet, probably. So whenever you could catch it on UHF channels, this was awesome. And so I'm sure I watched this again and again whenever it was on Saturday afternoon or whatever on channel 48 or.
And you had bathroom breaks every time there'd be a car commercial. You could play
exactly.
That out.
Yeah. Well, bathroom or something.
Still in the bathroom, Dan.
Once I got to a certain age, yeah. Yes.
Dan, what is your history?
I don't remember the first time I saw it, but it was in the theater. You know, it was because it didn't last long, but it went pretty quickly to HBO. So I'm pretty sure I saw it on cable some point in the 80s when I was a kid and enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I love those kind of movies. I love the sword and sorcery movies of the 80s. But it's been a couple decades since I've seen it, you know. Sat down and watched it. And for those of you that have a favorite TV show or movie that you had as a kid and you haven't seen it in a while, just leave it there. Leave it in your memory.
Leave it right there.
Just leave it there because it's never going to be as good as it is in your memory.
No.
Sitting through it again yesterday, I was kind of like, ugh. I was not prepared for how much man cheek I was going to have to see just to see 3 seconds of Tanya Roberts' boobs. You know,
you pay a price.
So much man cheek.
You pay a price. I also did not watch it in the theaters because I don't think anybody watched it in the theaters. Yeah. But I did watch it on pirated HBO, also known as Hey Beastmaster's on. and I remember just I was a big fan of V, so I really enjoyed.
Well, this was before V, yeah.
Yes, but by the time, you know, rerunning so many times between TBS and this and HBO, that I was like, oh, it's the guy from V. I remember him. And the cool thing about, you know, girls and animals. Like, I thought it was cool that he could talk to the animals. And
yeah.
I was a big Dr. Doolittle. Original, not this bullshit that's coming out.
People are hating on it already. It hasn't even opened yet.
I was a Rex Harrison Dr. Doolittle.
Poor Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing poor about him.
You think he would have learned from Eddie Murphy's mistake? But
oh.
I was going to say Eddie Murphy's probably feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, he's like, hey, mine isn't the worst movie now. And Rex Harrison's dead, Rex Harrison's dead and doesn't care. All right, I would stop and watch it. So let's get into the Beastmaster. I have to say, number one, hands down, we've been doing this for how many years? This is possibly the longest, most thorough synopsis I had ever read on IMDb, to the point where I was like, there is no way that I can use this to help me take notes because it's like looking at every little hair on everybody's
like
head.
Like a novella. Like, I didn't
really
read it.
I mean, it's like nitpicky down to like scene by scene, like shot by shot. Like it's really, I'm like, I don't need this much detail.
I didn't do a whole lot of fact checking for this. So I just wanted to just sit down and watch it as a viewer and, you know, and soak it in that way, but
that's okay, Dan. I did it for you.
Thank you.
So first of all, the thing that strikes me is it's put on by the Leisure Investment Company. That is the company that produces. I didn't understand because if it's a leisure investment company, why are the Juns the only ones that wear pants? There should be pants in your leisure, but apparently, okay. So I would also like to, throughout this, in the essence, in the spirit of fairness, I don't know if you guys have heard of Mr. Skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure. I have decided that in this movie, I have Ms. Skin moments because Mark Singer has many of them.
There's a lot of man cheek in it. So lots of man cheek.
For those following that would like to keep track of what time, because it is free on YouTube. That you want to go through and find.
I paid money for it yesterday.
Wow.
Again.
Why don't you text me when this happens and go, where can I find it? This is now three movies you have actually paid for.
I know.
Crawl.
That's how much I care. Well, Crawl I'll pay for. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
That's one of my faves.
Now you still own it. all right. So we start out in the Kingdom of Uruk. I have to say, some very interesting names.
Yes. All the men are monosyllabic. It's great.
Except for Mayax.
I just call him Max.
But you know what?
I'm gonna go with the stick with the monosyllabic thing, and I'm just going to call him Max.
I was looking at it going, wait a second. Now, I remember, wasn't there the Max on MTV? The cartoon.
Max Headroom?
No. The Max.
The Max.
But was that two X's or two A's?
Two X's.
Two X's. Okay. But for some reason, when I saw this, I was like, oh, maybe that's where they... Oh, I got a little confused there. So Mayax.
Max.
Max. Is given a prophecy by the...
The hot witches.
the
butter faces.
Like, yeah. Whoa. Beyond... Like, they physically look like butter. Like butter's been spread on their
neck down.
Oh, yeah. But the witches tell him that they have a prophecy that he is going to die at the hand of King Zed. Zed. Really? Zed.
It's just one syllable. Yeah, makes it easy.
Zed's unborn son is going to kill him. So he decides, oh, well, hey, I'm going to kill everyone. Well, no, I'm just going to kill the firstborn. Because at first he's going to sacrifice all the kids, and then he decides he's going to just sacrifice that one.
And then Zed comes in as if he'd already known
Yeah, and yes. And doesn't
he's been tipped off.
And doesn't do anything.
Just exiles him.
He doesn't do it. He goes, I know what your plan is. Bye.
I could have you executed, but I'm not gonna.
Why? That would be a really short movie.
I'm gonna go to bed now.
I just rewatched this opening scene for the third time because I can't figure out what's going on. Like Zed says, I could have you executed, and as a show of force, Mayax has the two priests sacrifice themselves.
Yeah,
like his priests.
Yes.
Why? I don't know.
Zed's like, okay, that's good enough for me.
And also, do they just like carry these strangulation devices around them?
They do.
They're zealots.
You never know when you gotta die. You have to be prepared. Like a Boy Scout.
I would give my life for you.
I'm a Boy Scout or a monk. Okay, so, they chase him out of... Now, I will have to say, in the detailed, overly detailed, somebody doesn't have a life synopsis on IMDb, it goes into, minute by minute, like, having been betrayed by someone in the royal family, blah, 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 like it explains how Zed knows this. And I'm like, that doesn't even happen in the movie. Did you write fiction? This guy was pretty much writing a synopsis, but in the form of fan fiction.
Beastmaster EU, I'm all in.
Oh, God. So they exile him out, but then as, of course, he's walking, like hot from the bottom witch is walking with a cow.
Or an ox, I guess it's an ox.
It's a big ox. And somehow, next thing you know, king and queen are sleeping. Sleeping just fine. And the witch comes in with the cow. Nobody hears them. No guards.
They're heavy sleepers.
Heavy sleepers, apparently, because an entire moo cow can the walk cow in.
Zed is comfortable in the fact that he has banished the bad guy.
I am fine. So then she pours this liquid across their necks, presumably paralyzing them. And actually, I found out that is actually just the illumination fluid that came out of an exit light.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm sure that's healthy. Wow. Of the many things that happened during Beastmaster, which we will discuss, which were not healthy.
Yeah.
And OSHA would be all over their shit. So pours it across and takes the baby out of the mother and, of course, killing her in the process and puts the baby into the cow.
It's an ox.
Ox.
Of course, because...
But why would she put it in a male cow? A male beast?
It wasn't a male.
It was a female ox?
It was a female ox.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I imagine.
Sure.
Maybe you're going to start your fan fiction. Then, of course, she takes him out, and she's about to sacrifice, or she kills the cow.
Mm-hmm.
Ox. She kills ox. takes the baby out, and she's about to sacrifice it when... Dun-da-da-da!
Theodore Ted Logan's father shows up.
Yes.
Oh, is that him?
Yep.
It's not him, but it looks like his long descendant.
Yes. He shows up with this funky ass throwing star. That's the longest death. Oh my God, that witch would not die.
Yeah.
So he keeps trying, and finally, and they fight with each other in a very slow yet fast.
Oh, it's such great choreography.
Fight scene. Either way, he kills the witch and takes the boy. And then he's showing him like freaking Lion King style around the village. And he's showing it around. They're like, ooh, we've never seen a baby before. Ooh.
He's like a tiny adult.
Yes, but dependent. So then he takes it and raises it on his own. Next we see he's like, it is like maybe 11, 12, played by Billy Jacoby.
Who looks just like Mark Singer, doesn't he? Looks just like a young Mark Singer.
Oh, yeah. Billy Jacoby, every time I see him, he was in so much stuff in the 80s. But he went by Billy Jane, but it was Billy Jacoby. He's in it, and that's when we find out about his control of animals. When his adopted father is trying to teach him how to throw the...
They play that prank on that poor guy where they almost killed him. They were like laughing about it. We almost took your head off. Oh, crap. He's dead now.
I really hate fake
laughter. No end. Especially when the top jaw isn't moving, but the bottom jaw is. It's just like...
Hey, Dad, throw this very sharp thing at this poor guy's head and take his hat off.
We took your hat. Oh, look, a bear mauled you. And of course, the bear you know, each shot he has a little blood on him, and then he doesn't, yeah. And he does, then he doesn't. And then, of course, the father has one of those tripping girl in the woods running from a horror movie kind of thing. Oh, my leg! And, of course, he makes eye contact with the bear and communicates with the bear. And
Vulcan mind meld.
And the bear goes away. And the father says, do not tell anybody about this. Do not. Your parlor trick.
Keep it on the DL.
And then... I forgot to refer to when the witch is getting ready to sacrifice the baby. Still don't know why, or maybe I don't know why. She brands the sign of R into
well, yeah,
his.
Mayax said that they had to do that, right? That's part of the sacrifice.
Is that what he said? Yeah, I guess.
Oh, you paid more attention than I did.
Well, it's like I watched that open up some three times trying to figure it out.
But the thing is that what later when he's sacrificing every child, they're not doing that to every child.
Maybe they did off screen.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's he sacrificed.
Maybe those are in the deleted scenes on the Blu-ray.
Just for fun.
You know. This one was special just so they wouldn't grow up and kill him.
Yeah, that's true. So he, of course, has the mark and his father says, you know, this is your sign. The
Dar.
You have marked. You've been marked. And I would like to mark, note for Game of Thrones fans, that makes Dar. The first warg.
Dar. I'm the first warg. Dar. I call him Dar. I can't say his name without going Dar because that's the face that Mark Singer makes whenever he tries
yes,
to act.
He does.
Every time he tries to act, it's Dar.
So years later, he's fully grown into his hair, sort of. And he's out.
Kept on changing lengths.
Oh, God. It kept going.
Short, long.
Kind of like one of those Play-Doh barbershop where it would go long and short, long and short. So he's out working with the other young men in the field, and they see the Juns coming.
Just this glowing cloud off in the
big
distance.
Glowing cloud.
Apparently that's their big giveaway.
I don't understand the whole Juns thing.
Yeah, they're not like, very good at sneaking up on people.
No, they
didn't even need to be a separate people in this story. They could have been the like Mayax's people. Right?
Yeah.
They're like this third element that appears at the beginning and the end for no reason.
Yeah, and is never explained.
Right.
Why he could control them, why they're trying to get, yeah. So the only survivor of the attack
is Dar.
But he's saved by his dog, Toto, who I was reading the way that they got him to lick Dar's face is they rubbed a hot dog on his face.
Oh, God.
I hope he got extra pay for that.
I think he should have.
I thought that was really impressive that like they had the dog drag him or fake drag him like for a long time.
Yes.
I was really impressed.
After being shot by an arrow.
Yeah.
He's dying and he takes it. Okay. So then he somehow lays the entire village bodies, all of them out, and he's going to burn them Viking style. So he burns them all and takes most of his clothes and off.
And the sign of a null set.
And puts on a useless golden headband.
Yeah, where was that from?
I don't know.
He just crowned himself King Dar.
I can't figure it. It's on him through the whole movie, but it's covered up by the hair. It's not serving any logical purpose. It's not keeping the hair out of his face.
And it's like... It wasn't his father's or anything, was it?
No! He gets the sword, which was his father, and the capa, which was his father, which it is also noted that it is also one of the, next to the glaive.
The glaive.
It is one of the most iconic weapons. So,
well, yeah, you know, the writers were like, all right, that Kroll movie did really well.
Let's do that. But he doesn't use it. To the extent that...
He doesn't. He barely uses it, yeah. Well, Kroll was barely used, too.
Yeah, that's true. It's because he probably couldn't figure out how to do it. So later, he makes eye contact, as he's leaving, he makes spooky eye contact with an eagle. And though he is never referred to in this movie by name, in all of the sequels and things, he has the name Sharok.
The bird?
Yes, the bird has a name, Sharok.
So first name, Jacques.
Jacques Sharok.
he's
French.
We'll just continue to refer to him as Sharok just because it's easier. So in time, he is joined after a lovely swim in some quicksand by some thieving ferrets, Kodo and Podo.
Man.
But it made me.
They were so cool when I was a kid, but I really wanted to just leave them in the quicksand.
Last after night when growing I watched up in the it. 80s, I thought I was so prepared if I ever encountered quicksand.
Just find some ferrets.
Yep.
Every show had somebody falling into quicksand.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was like the trope of the 80s is like everybody's going to fall in quicksand.
Yep.
And everybody has like grabs something and pulls themselves out instead of just swimming on it like they are supposed to.
Well, you can't. If you move, you'll sink faster. That's the whole thing with quicksand.
No, but if you float on your back, if you just like go like dead weight and float on your back, you go all the way to the top. Supposedly.
Supposedly.
My but survival.
That doesn't make for good television.
No, it doesn't.
Don't ask Slim Pickens for help either. He's not going to help you.
No. So, and also we meet the black tiger who he names Ruh. Ruh.
Way to go,
yeah,
Dar.
But he sort of holds the R.
Yeah. Ruh. So, who he uses later to forcefully sexually assault Tanya Roberts. So he sees Tanya Roberts and her fellow slave girl, I guess.
And by the way, they're cousins. They're related.
I know. We'll get to that.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Sure. I'm jumping the gun.
Jumping on the glaive.
I love how they're slave girls, but they're freely roaming the countryside.
Yes!
Well, you know.
They're not really that slavish. They're not. They didn't have anything to
do. All they did was ask permission to go to the bathroom somewhere, which is what they're doing in the water.
Technically, yes.
I wouldn't go in that water.
And really, they only have one job as slaves to get sacrificed. So, you know, we're not going to sacrifice you tomorrow. So, ladies, your afternoon's yours.
Go to the bathroom in the water.
Smoke if you got them.
So, he meets Tanya Roberts, Kiri liaison, and he before getting himself lost and
the first name we've encountered that has two syllables
because it's a girl.
Yeah,
Kiri.
Well, I guess Mayax counts.
Really?
Never mind. That just blew my whole theory up.
But see, there's no little glottal next to it or anything, so there's no indication that it's Mayax.
That's true. Mayax.
Mayax.
Yeah, he needs an umlaut or something on there.
Yes, he needs an apostrophe, something in there. So he gets himself lost and finds himself surrounded by the bird people.
Oh, yes, the bird people, because we all saw that coming.
The bird people.
The bird / vampire
bat
wing stomach things.
That stuff
freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, it did too, actually. I thought that was really cool when I saw that as a kid, but last night I was like, oh, God, I forgot about the bird stomach things.
Especially when he like embraces the guy and just all you hear is
yeah, that guy ran right into him too, like, dude, you just got out of the cage.
I really wanted like a little xylophone sound whenever the bones fell out, you know.
So we find out that these half human do we really know they're half human? We don't. They're mythical half bird creatures. And they're getting ready to eat Thor, but then they find that Sharok comes down and lands on him, and they revere birds as gods. So now he is seen as
it's the C-3PO moment.
Yes. So
tell them you'll get angry.
They say they're gonna spare him, and they give him an amulet should he ever need their help.
Did they say anything?
Nope.
No.
That wasn't explained at all. It was just one of the bird guys just throws an amulet at him. He's like, that's like a huge coin. And by the way, Dar has no pockets.
Yeah, so, where's he going to put him?
But I don't want to know where he put it.
But he has a satchel that he keeps Poto and Hodo.
That's true. He's got his sack.
He keeps Kathy Lee and Kona.
Puts everything in his sack.
Kathy Lee and Hoda are in the sack. So then Dar finally arrives at Uruk, and he's now
the horrible matte painting of
That was
a rook.
Oh, he's taking over the whole town.
Can I just say, it literally looked like when he's like, it's him on this cliff and he's supposedly looking off in the distance at the town of Uruk. And it totally looks like he's right next to this little miniature model. And he's just over there looking at it. Oh, there it is.
His shadows cast over half the buildings. Shit, man. Oh, change the light. Change the light.
This town's smaller than I thought.
It's like Indy in the map room. Yes.
So he gets there. The Jinns have total support to get the subjects, and they're going to sacrifice children. And they're doing a child sacrifice at the top of this big-ass pyramid now anyway. And he decides, after seeing one child...
the Jinns, though, right?
No, the Jinns have made them... I believe
Arugans. Mayax is using the Jinns
to strike
fear into people.
To keep the Funyuns in line.
Yes.
So he's got the Funyuns, and they're there, and they take the Funyun kid, and they throw one in.
Yes.
And then they get a little girl. These are not little children. These are not babies either. These are like 3 or 4 year olds.
Yeah. Well, that's when they get really annoying, though. So
that's true.
I feel so bad. You know, if they're little babies, I would have felt a little worse.
Yeah, you kind of.
But
go,
you know,
like,
when they get to that age, when they're like, you know, 5 or 6 years old, you just
kind of.
Sometimes you really just don't want to throw them off a cliff.
You just kind of want to go. I bet he's in the no phase. No, or the why phase.
Yeah.
He's either in the why or the no phase, and you know he's ready to be sacrificed. So they take the little girl out of Sakko's.
You're like, you love these names.
The hell these names? Sakko. Sakko is Sakko. Sakko. It's Sakko even better. Sakko. So he saves the child. He somehow has Shirok grab the child and fly off with the child because he's now the size of a 747. And he has taken and saved her. And he comes to Sakko later and brings the child back. And he's very, you know, he's like, oh, I'm thankful, come in, eat something. And he finds out more information about Kiri, Elazon, and learns that she is to be sacrificed. In the meantime, Max learns from his witches that the son of Zed is there. So he sends his priests off with those creepy looking eye rings. Oh, creepy fucking eye rings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those used to creep me out as a kid. I was like, ah! So he puts the priest out with the creepy eye ring. Dara goes to go save, and he meets Zed's youngest son, Tal, and Seth. Again, one syllable word.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to my Ms. Skin moments, just to remind you, at about
please don't remind me of Seth's ass cheek.
No. Oh, Seth's is in there. But 26 minutes, 14 seconds in, Mark's swinging a log.
Oh, boy.
And then he's moving to swinging a sword.
Yep.
Good moment.
Yep.
34:53, running with the tiger. So you have an animal.
I'm glad you enjoyed those scenes.
You have a kitty and a hot guy. That was pretty good.
Meanwhile, all we get is 3 seconds of Tanya Roberts' boobs.
Yep. Making up for it. This is actually,
she never puts on pants.
Technically, this might be a chick flick.
I think
it might be.
I thought about that the entire time I watched it last night.
It might be. And the last one I have is 55:35, which is about where we are now. Swinging that sword and meeting Seth and Tal.
Dar.
And Seth.
Dar looks hot.
Dar was pretty damn hot in there. And I have to say, Mr. Amos. Looking interesting in that outfit.
I love him. I used to watch Good Times all the time.
That outfit. If he went into his Good Times routine while he was wearing that outfit, that would have been funny as shit.
McDowell's.
Soul glow. Come on, Christy.
Just watch the soul glow. I believe the children are our future. So they find out. They're hanging out. And of course, Dar is talking about Kiri. And they find out that he's, they find, because the ferrets have their little pilferings, and they find
the necklace.
Her necklace, and they're like, oh, all of a sudden they're
How'd
really
you
upset.
Get this?
And they kind of give him a cold shoulder, and they find out, he finds out that it's his cousin.
From the cousin that I tongue kissed a little while ago?
It never goes through his head.
Forcibly.
Never. Wait, do we really think Dar is going to think that far? No.
Do we really think a person named Dar is going to care he's kissing his cousin?
No, he is not.
Honestly, with all the child murder going on in this place,
really, yeah,
you got to marry your cousin soon.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of people.
That's why they. That's why they're murdering their children, because they keep marrying their cousins.
So then the priests start coming. They rescue her as she's making. How far are they walking, and where are they sacrificing them to? Because they are walking a ways. And they get him.
It's fair. It's a long ceremony. It's a long ceremony.
Sex has a real boner for sacrifice, and yeah, he will go to the ends of the earth.
That's right. He's got to find the right spot.
Somebody. Yes.
It's kind of like a dog trying to find the right place to poop.
Yes.
You got to sniff around.
Yeah. So they rescue Kiri after the. I have now noticed that the priests do not speak. They just grunt. I don't think they have. And they just, like, they point for her to go somewhere. They're, that's all they do.
They didn't have a good agent.
They didn't get paid for this. Well, they're also stuntmen. So they did not have to, they didn't want to pay the stuntmen that much extra. It was bad enough that the more risky the stunt, they had to pay them more. So if they had to give them words and, you know, dialogue on top of it, they would have been screwed. They would have gone way over budget.
Yeah.
So they rescue her and I was trying to figure out, when they're on this boat,
yes,
they're pulling this big, are they pulling themselves across?
They're pulling themselves across, and then they cut the rope because they think, oh, that way it'll be quicker.
Yeah. Okay, just wondering if that logic escaped me.
Yeah. Or, no. Look at you looking for logic in this movie. Look at you.
They dump the priests overboard so they can go faster. What were they gonna do? Tied up in the first place.
I don't know. Use them as bait? I don't know. Like Mayax would care.
Right.
Don't care.
He kills his priests just as easily as he kills children.
I know. So they finally Seth goes to gather the forces, and Sacco helps Dar, Kiri, and Tal infiltrate the temple. They're in the temple, and now they go through like a hallway, and instead of lasers, you have death guards. Beast-like death guards.
Someone
who can only reach through pockets.
Who's been to some really raunchy S&M clubs.
Oh, Jesus. There's like
those are some hardcore.
Those are some spikes.
Yes.
So somehow he finds the lever that puts the vent covers on him so they can't reach through, and then Tal and Kiri come through. And somehow they get to another hole and they actually see a death guard being made.
Yes. By the way, you know, if you really want to protect your prisons, it's really wise to set up grates at knee level so that you could have, you know,
yeah,
people try to grab your ankles as you try to walk by.
Yeah.
That's a very effective way to protect your valuables.
Yeah.
Right. They have like two rooms with like 50 death guards in them each, and all they can do is reach out through the grating.
Yes.
Whereas you could put just like two death guards right in front of the door, and that would be a lot easier and more effective.
But maybe they can't control them, so they have to keep them behind something.
Yeah. Or just two well-trained guards.
I don't know if I can talk logic with this movie. So they find Zed, who's a dick. And but again, he's blinded, so I guess I'd be a dick too if I had my eyes stabbed out.
And his wife was killed.
And his son was taken. And he doesn't know what's going on in his
life. He thinks his firstborn is dead.
Yeah, so they go and get him, and they rescue him and take him out to the whatever little enclave of
the gathering
of
the rebel forces are massing
of the Funyuns. They're all there. And then gets to the point where he's like I want revenge,
we must attack,
and Dar is like, not a good idea.
You should probably get more people.
You probably are not ready. And he calls him a freak.
Yes.
And exiles him. And then we get sad Dar. Tiny little one tear down that one little tiny rolling tear off of his cheek.
The dog is sad too
because he called him a freak, and he feels he was He was starting to feel accepted, and now he's rejected. He has no home. So they, okay, so I lost my place.
Sad Dar.
Sad Dar. And then we find out that they have gone stupidly to go and attack the castle at night. And Sacco comes out with a horse.
I really wish that they would have filmed that. It wasn't just like, oh, next scene, the battle was lost.
They've been captured.
I wanted to see their tremendous battle.
The big exciting thing that just happened,
we did it off stage. We were running out of budget. So Sacco comes up with a horse. You would never see Beastmaster talk to a horse.
No, we don't.
No, just noting that.
All horses are dumb.
And he pretty much says, hey, everybody's been captured. And now, first they were going to be sacrificed at dawn. Now they're going to be sacrificed at sunset. So apparently it has to be when the sun's coming up or the sun's going down. What about noon sacrifice?
Looks the best.
What about a noonish sacrifice, you know?
It's too hot. It's too hot.
Ah, that's true.
Nobody wants to do that. It's too
hot. The matte painting will show too well.
Out in the middle of the desert and the noon heat.
Ooh. Everybody's schwitzing. All right. So he goes in there and tries to save them. And it's finally revealed. Finally, Mayax reveals Dar's relationship to Zed before slitting Zed's throat. Like, no, hey.
Didn't slit his throat. He gutted him.
Oh, he gutted him.
Yeah,
he was going to slit somebody else's throat. Yeah.
He looked like he was going to slit his throat.
Yeah, and then he just stabbed him. So, and then the Beastmaster fights lamely with some guard. And then Mayax gets stabbed. He stabs Mayax. And goes to, you know, love on Tanya Roberts.
Yeah, his cousin. And
poor Tanya Roberts is like about to be sacrificed. She fights back for an instant, but the guy just conks her out again.
Yeah. She's like, ooh. And so then despite being stabbed, he is revived by his remaining witch, the one witch left. He's about to kill Dar when Kodo sacrifices himself.
That was sad.
And bites him and makes him fall into the fire. And Beastmaster, Dar has to look over and go, did you make it? Did you make it? No. Hello? No.
I think I can pull him out. He can still make it.
He tries and it's like,
he's not going to have any fur anymore, but he'll be alive.
So, but the victory is short-lived as the Jun horde is approaching Uruk, arriving by nightfall, but we see them coming.
Of course, they're terrible at sneaking up on people.
Look, there's a cloud.
You see them miles away, and apparently they have enough time
to get ready.
To get the town ready.
To get
That's
ready.
How bad they are at sneaking up on people.
And they were supposedly already there. They had already overthrown the town. Why didn't they leave a couple behind?
So the last 15 minutes of this movie suddenly becomes The Seven Samurai.
Yes. So they fight, and Tall the kid is shot with an arrow.
Yeah.
And Dar succeeds in burning most of the Juns alive. The ones that he doesn't, all of a sudden, Birdman! Kill everybody.
It was like the little Gandalf with the moth showing up at the last minute with the eagles. The eagles are here! The eagles are here! And they come in at the last minute and swoop in and eat people alive with their stomach wings.
And then did the expanded universe explain, like, did Dar use the amulet to call the Birdman, or did
he gave sense? Oh, no. You see him earlier. You see him. He gave the amulet to the bird and to fly off. And that was the bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the bird
there's a scene before. Yeah. When they're preparing the town, right. He gives that little amulet to the bird and the eagle flies away to get help.
Okay. This is what happens when you pay for
those.
The movie,
yeah.
You pay
those
attention.
Are like the eagles from Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You pay attention.
Speaking of bird people, I don't know why they decided to have Mayax have a bird face.
Oh, that was
with his nose prosthetic. Well, I know that was his idea. He wanted that.
That was his idea. I've got
his
some stories.
Bird-like nose and eyebrows. I'm like,
I've got stories about that one. So we'll finish off the movie that, the Birdman saved the day. Bird. And the following day, Seth tells, Dar, you're the firstborn. You should be king. He says, no, you raised him to be king. Oh. I did not.
I just want to make out with my cousin.
I just want to. And so in the end, he gives Tall his capa. Doesn't tell him how to use it. Just gives him the capa. And
well, it's pretty easy to use.
Yeah, throw it.
I don't think there's a whole lot of
throw it
training involved.
But he sets off into the wild with Kiri, Shirok, and Podo, who has now given birth to two babies in the pouch.
To Slodo and Flodo.
Yeah. So the Kissing Cousins are on their way to New Adventures. Oh, Mr. Flodo. The Kissing Cousins are on their way to New Adventures. So that is how the movie ends. Now, we got some trivia with this.
Of some course you do.
Interesting. Did you know? Did you know, Dan? Mark Singer is a brother of Lori Singer from Footloose.
I did not know that. And actually, I think I did. I did remember that. I remember learning about that a while ago. Yeah.
And the cousin of Brian Singer.
Yeah.
The director.
Yes.
Yes.
By the way, and I don't know if you are going to mention this in the trivia or not, that battle with the Juns.
Yes.
And when he set the trench on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't research it at all. I watched that clip over and over again when the trench was lit. And I don't know if that was Mark Singer doing his own stunts or whatever, but if it was Mark or that stunt actor that plays him, they were dangerously close.
It was probably
to that fire. I see a lot of those embers are actually falling on him.
A lot of the stuntmen, they were a lot of stuntmen on this production. So it was a stuntman because they didn't mention him doing anything special. Usually if somebody's doing their own stunts, the majority of them, those are doing their own stunts. But
he was right on top of that fire when that trench went up. Because you see those burning embers falling like all over him and on him. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. No, I would imagine that was a stuntman because he was, or maybe he had hair on his chest at one point. They filmed this first. On Mark Singer's first day of filming, Billy Jacoby was filming the scene where young Dar confronts the bear.
Dar.
There was only one bear working in Hollywood. It was a Russian bear. And the Russian bear mauled the trainer.
Oh, jeez.
In front of everybody. And everybody had to go run, scattering into their cars. And as soon as the bear was recaptured and the handler was carried off to get medical attention, the crew turned and was like, all right, Mark, time to film your scene.
No, thank you.
So the witches, these hot human body
butterfaces.
Yes. Did you know that one of them is Janet Jones, future wife of Mark Gretzky?
I don't know who Janet Jones is, but
She was an Olympic. She was an Olympic gymnast.
Oh,
yep.
Well, she definitely had a gymnast butt.
Yes, and this role as Kiri led to Tanya Roberts being cast as Stacy Sutton in A View to a Kill.
Yes,
but it does not have any mention of Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
Yeah,
is that what
she did that
called?
Shortly after? Yeah.
Which basically used the same outfit from this one.
Yeah, pretty much. She was probably like, hey, can I hold on to this? The tiger.
Oh, yeah.
It was supposed to be a panther.
It was supposed to be a panther, but they could not get a panther. They said that it would be easier to use a tiger. They're easier to train.
Yeah.
They used about four tigers. They had four tigers that they used. They used Lady Clairol.
Yeah, to color the hair.
To color the hair. Now, there's two different things that come out. Some things say that the tiger died from licking it because you always see the white his face because they couldn't keep it on. That he licked it off and died from the dye because it was human dye. It wasn't meant for animals.
Well, and women who use don't usually lick their
hair. No, they don't usually. but I
is
get
it toxic?
Conflicted.
Is Clairol toxic? I don't think it's toxic.
You're not supposed to eat it.
Well, I know you're not, but I don't think it would kill you. I think that might be a myth.
It goes back and forth because I cannot find definitive. I find things that are like polarizing.
Well, I can't imagine that they're going to sell a product that's poisonous for a living creature. You're going to dye your hair with something that's poisonous.
All about,
but
dosage.
Yeah, and think about how much they had to put on this tiger.
Movie and the tiger's constantly eating Clairol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rip Torn wore a fake nose on his own because he said that he wanted Max to be more vulture-like.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bird imagery.
But he ended up looking more like, what's his name from the Smurfs?
Yes, Gargamel.
Gargamel.
the eagle, Chirac, often refused to fly on cue. So what they had to do is take him up in a hot air balloon and drop him out to make him fly.
And there were so many shots of just the eagle flying with like either a mountain or a sky behind him that I just imagine, like you said, they drop him out of the balloon or they just second unit was off just shooting as much as they could of the bird just to get it so they could cut to it.
Yeah. And the worst part is that they a lot of the critics when this first came out were like, that's so clearly a helicopter shot. Yeah. What? So? How else are you supposed to? It's 1982. Yeah. How the hell
have,
you?
Didn't have GoPros back then.
They didn't have that.
You can't put a GoPro on a bird.
So Don Coscarelli claims that he's read all of Andre Norton's books as a boy. Now, Norton is the author of a novel called The Beastmaster, on which this movie is loosely based. But Andre Norton, almost...
Didn't like it. Didn't like the movie at all. She, by the way.
Oh, she. Sorry.
Yeah, it's she.
Andre Norton actually... Because it's actually about a Native American.
But and it's actually supposed to be in the future.
Yes. Yeah. And she hated it so much that she was like, I want no mention of my name.
Yeah.
No mention of my name at all.
Did they get the rights from her?
They did. But then she decided not to have her name attached to it.
Yeah.
Because
fair enough.
She saw how bad it was.
This could be the future. You don't know.
Yeah. So, it's true.
Originally, Dino De Laurentiis liked this movie and offered Don Coscarelli a chance to direct Conan the Destroyer. Coscarelli declined it because he thought the script was bad.
Wow.
After Beastmaster. Okay. Demi Moore was actually somebody that Don Coscarelli wanted to be Kiri.
Yeah.
But the and they were actually supposed to kill off Kiri, but part of the financing was based on letting Kiri live through the whole movie. So they wouldn't finance it.
They didn't like the sound of her voice, apparently Demi Moore's voice. Because it was too gravelly.
They have chosen wisely.
Yes.
Right?
Coscarelli decided to set it in the Bronze Age because he really liked Ray Harryhausen sword and sandal flicks. So he decided, this will work here. They fired the original animal trainer in the middle of filming and hired another one. Possibly, I'm thinking it's because he got mauled. But so several actors, most of the actors who are not Juns have very little clothing, and it was freezing cold during the entire... In fact, the first time that Mark Singer and John Amos saw each other in their outfits, they laughed hysterically at each other. He's actually sold off all his rights. Coscarelli sold off all of his rights. So the sequels and the TV show, all of that, he gets nothing of that.
All that money? He doesn't want it? All that sweet, all $5 or $10 worth.
Yes. What's really cool is one of the sites that I was researching in, it actually has like the top 12 or 5 things that you learn from the Beastmaster commentary. Because apparently the producer and Don Coscarelli sit down and watch the movie and do a commentary.
Yeah.
And one of the things he says is that one issue that they grappled with is, shouldn't Dar be a vegetarian? Because he has this big meal at Sacco's, and shouldn't he be a vegetarian?
Oh, poor Poto. I miss you so much.
Dar's sword.
You're so good.
Was created for the film, and everybody joked that at the end of the filming, they were going to take it. Somebody stole it, and there's still a reward out for it because nobody has it.
Somebody has it.
None of the people that want it, that they said that there's a mighty hefty reward for it. So if you find Dar's sword, if you find it, nobody wants it.
Oh, I found this in my attic.
Dar, I can't find my sword.
So that is all I have for The Beastmaster. Gentlemen, do you have any other thoughts on this epic
piece of movie? I'm very thankful it's over.
Yes.
I had fun watching it.
I enjoyed it. I did. I do like to make fun of it, though. Yeah, but I mean, it was, you know, it was one of my, it was a good movie when I was a kid. But, you know, yeah. I should have just left it there.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold up all that well. And going back to the shots of Chirac flying, there's shots of him flying in daytime or whatever. And then the nighttime shots, they just basically composited the image of the hawk flying in front of like a static thing of clouds. And it just looks so terrible.
Oh, by the way, there's something. The music is a clear ripoff of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
yes, it's totally.
Oh, it's like every time that theme music came popping, I was like, where have I heard that before? And like, it was running towards the end. I'm like, that's Battlestar Galactica.
Yep.
I'm like, are you serious?
No suing, doing on never. All right. So now we come to the time where we have to rate it. So we're going to rate it as how we thought of it the first time and as compared to our ratings now. I think pretty much you don't have to be a mystic, half sexy witch to see how we're going to go with this one. So, Dan.
When I was a kid, when I first saw it, I'd say I'd probably give it like a 3.5.
Okay.
Now I'm going to give it about no more than a 2. It's a 2 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3.5 to 2.
Dave.
I probably would have given this a 4 back then just because that's where my mind was. Now it goes down to a 3. It's okay. And I would watch it again, but it doesn't really hold up all that well. Mostly it's Tanya Roberts.
Sweet redhead.
I have conflicting reasons for my votes. So I probably would have said it was a 3 because I was
just for Mark Singer's body alone, you're going to give it a 10.
No. It's out of 5.
All right.
I didn't like it that much. But I would have to say I probably would have given it a 3. For I was a big fan of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And I'd drop it down to a 1.5.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch this again, ever.
No.
Screenshot any one of those moments that I mentioned in my Ms. Skin moments.
So much man butt cheek. Oh.
There is a lot.
Between the cheesecake and the beefcake, this movie's got a lot of cake.
Yeah. This is not for people with low sugar tolerance. So, all right. Well, then, if you would like to tell us your thoughts about the or the Beastmaster or Beastmaster, let us know on our Facebook page. The great 80s movie. Or if you can think of any other good one-syllable names that could have been better than Thar. Let us know on our Facebook page. Please feel free to support us on Patreon. Check us out on Neozaz, Patreon, neozaz.com. And, excuse me.
All right, over there?
Yes. I had a hair. A black tiger hair.
And stop eating that Clairol.
Don't eat that stuff. That'll kill you.
That apparently. Lady Clairol will kill you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
And, all right. We will see you next week when we have our best of fives are back and we are talking about our top 5 fantasy movies. Beastmaster is not on this list.
Nope.
Darp.
All right. Thank you for joining us.